I'm Alex Bloomberg, host of the podcast Startup, and you're listening to We Are LA Tech.
And this is my grown-up voice. Welcome back to the We Are LA Tech podcast. I have another LA startup spotlight for you. So excited to be bringing Kinsey into the We Are LA Tech office to share with you Start Engine. Start Engine has been doing amazing, amazing things for crowdfunding. Is that how you would say crowdfunding? Or crowd investing?
You could say both of those things, or equity crowdfunding is what we say.
Equity crowdfunding. And she is going to share with you the kind of impact they're making on the LA tech community and beyond. Not to sound so commercial, but it's true. They're not just servicing LA, right? You're servicing...
Yeah, anywhere in the States and Canada.
Oh, there. I like Canada.
Me too.
I can't wait to go back. I just had lunch with the Canadian consulate. I was so excited. I was like, please send me to Canada.
Really? What do they do with the Canadian consulate?
I don't know, but as long as they send me to Canada, we're good.
I'm Kinsey Cronin, and I am the Director of Business Development at Start Engine. I help companies take advantage of the new laws that will help them take on investment from everybody rather than just accredited investors. That's sort of the key to it.
And I mean, what are the new laws? When did this happen?
It all started with the Great Depression.
By the way, you guys, this is her grown-up voice telling a grown-up story. Are you guys ready?
Once upon a time, there was America. And in America, there were companies like Ford Motors. If you wanted to buy stock in a new company like Ford Motors, that was an option. And a lot of companies got funded that way. Then there was the Great Depression, which was caused by the stock market crash. And during that time, the government created the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and their job was to prevent fraudulent activities from happening with the stock exchange. One of the things that they did is they created a new rule which said that in order to invest in an early stage or growth company, you had to be an accredited investor, which meant you had to have a certain amount of wealth. And wealth was really the only thing that determined whether or not you would be allowed to make these investments. And the reason they did that is because really wealthy people, if they were making a bad investment, could afford to lose their money and still eat. And because they were so wealthy, were more likely to have been savvy enough to get rich in the first place. So they were probably making better decisions. That was the thought process behind it. So for the last 80 years, that's how companies have gotten their investments, only from accredited investors. But that's a very, very small percentage of the population.
This is super interesting.
So all kinds of things happened during that 80 years, like the internet happened, and there were some recessions that happened, and good stuff and bad stuff. And it all sort of culminated in a realization that it didn't make sense anymore to keep that limitation. And technology was there to protect small-time investors and to monitor the offerings of this equity. And so this blanket rule was not the best way to handle the situation anymore. So the Jobs Act, have you heard of the Jobs Act?
I mean, tell everybody about the Jobs Act. Yeah.
So the Jobs Act, it stands for Jumpstart Our Business Startups. And it was signed in 2012. And there was a lot of work that went into it. And the funny thing is, not that many people talked about it, even though it made some really, really monumental changes. And one of the reasons for that might be that it changed something that previously people weren't allowed to do, so they weren't really very familiar with. Mm-hmm. So it passed in 2012, but it took several years of legislation to actually bring the right rules into place so that it could go into effect and work. And for a lot of people, it wasn't clear if this act was actually going to mean anything.
Right.
Because some laws had changed that technically made certain things allowed, but it was so hard to do all the necessary steps to actually start raising money that they didn't really use it. I'm going to talk about three parts of it.
Okay.
There's Title II, Title III, and Title IV. Title II was the one that allowed you to actually go wide and solicit the opportunity. So solicit the raise. So that meant that you could go onto a website like AngelList and explain yourself and reach out to investors that you don't already know. They still have to be accredited investors, but you can pitch yourself that way. So
now, for people who don't know what AngelList is, can you kind of give a brief overview? What is AngelList?
AngelList is a place where you can go and you can pitch, you can put up information about your company and your deck and ask for investment from a community of accredited investors who might be able to fund your company. And it's a great tool. But if you weren't allowed to go out and bring in people who weren't accredited. So the process of becoming approved on AngelList is one that requires that you show how much money you have, and it has to be a lot of money.
Right. What are some of the core differentiators between like Start Engine and other sites like AngelList? Because it is a lot different, right?
Yeah, it's pretty different. And the reason it's different is because the other titles that we operate under, Title III and Title IV, they allow you to reach out to non-accredited investors, which means that the whole marketing process is totally different. Instead of going after a very small group of accredited investors who do this all the time, you're marketing yourself to people who care specifically about you, often more than they care about being an investor, period.
Right.
And for many companies that are taking advantage of this, some of their investors will only invest in them and won't be out there looking for other companies to invest in. The difference is definitely in the audience. And because of that, you know, if you're not an accredited investor or you're not an entrepreneur, you don't really have any reason to go onto a site like AngelList. Basically, anybody can go on Start Engine and be interested in the companies that are on it.
But like, so someone like me, I can just normal, everyday, average Jane can go on Start Engine and invest, participate in equity funding of a company.
What you can do is you can go on Start Engine and you can find a company that is doing something you're passionate about and that you believe is going to succeed and that you want to help succeed. And you can be an angel investor even at a low amount. So The companies will set their own minimums, but a common minimum is $600. Other companies will have lower minimums, like $200, and others will have higher, like $2,000. But they're more accessible to an everyday person who isn't necessarily trying to stake a whole bunch of money in something, but might want to support a company that does something that they like.
And who founded Start Engine?
Start Engine was founded by Howard Marks and Ron Miller. Howard was also a founder of Activision. Ron has been a serial entrepreneur with a bunch of companies. Ron is currently the CEO, and Howard is the chairman.
And what kind of companies has Start Engine already done equity funding for that we may take note of?
We had a really great success in January. So last year, on June 20th, 2015, is when the very first Title IV campaigns were allowed to... So that was when the Title IV law came into effect on June 20th of 2015, and Start Engine launched one of the very first Regulation A Plus Test the Waters campaigns. And the company was Elio Motors, and they got to take advantage of this thing called Test the Waters, which is very cool and entrepreneurial, and it allows a company to create a campaign page, create a video, and start soliciting indications of interest. In other words, if you were interested in a Test the Waters campaign, you could put your information in and say, I would like to invest $5,000 in this company, but then you don't actually have to do it, and you can't do it until they've gone live with their actual launch. So later when they went live, they might come back to you and say, hey, remember that $5,000 you wanted to invest? You can do it now. Let's do it. You can be an investor. So they got a ton of indicated interest. I think it was 47. It was 47 million in indicated interest, and they raised that pretty quickly as well. It took them a couple of months to actually start filing with the SEC. They put in their filing, and then they launched their campaign in November.
Launched their campaign on Start Engine.
They launched their Test the Waters campaign on Start Engine. And then in November, they launched their live campaign on Start Engine at a really terrible time, like a couple days before Thanksgiving. It was not a great time for anybody to be seeking investment. However, they did really well. So they closed at $16.92 million. Their average investment amount was only around $2,600 per investor. And they got about 6,500 investors.
Perfect. And kind of bringing it back for a second, why LA? Why be based in LA?
For us?
Yeah.
Well, it's been very important to our founders to help create the LA tech scene. Start Engine was actually an accelerator here before the company pivoted to become a platform. So this is where we live. This is a place that we really believe in. So, I mean, why not here? Where else would we go?
And as people are listening, they're going to want to cyberstalk you, us multitaskers.
No.
Where can they find out more about Start Engine online?
www.startengine.com.
And how can they connect with you? Are you on Twitter?
Yes. So we're at StartEngineLA is our handle on Twitter. The same handle is on Instagram. And we have a Facebook page too.
Perfect. And if you had one ask of the community, if you could ask for anything, what would that ask be?
I would say for the community, learn about the rules. Learn about your options. Equity crowdfunding is not right for every company. And there's a lot of different ways these days, because you also have regular crowdfunding campaigns, which can be a great way for companies to get recognition and get started. And then some companies would rather have an investor who can be a mentor to them. But in a lot of cases, this is a really, really great option. So I would say learn about it. Figure out what the rules are, because you want to have all the information at your disposal when you decide how to take on funding, and how you take on that funding can really define the future of your company. It's really important to understand the terms that you accept. And in the case of equity crowdfunding, those are terms that you write for yourself. And it becomes a take it or leave it opportunity. That can be really powerful. So I would say do your research. Call me. I'll tell you all about it.
I love the way you answer the question. However, like if you had like something that the community could do to support StartEngine, like something to be involved in the StartEngine ecosystem, what would that ask be?
Oh, well, that would be go on and check out the companies on the platform. And if you like what they're doing, invest in them. Because we all know that not every company is going to be successful, especially startups. We know the statistics there. But if you're supporting a company, even if it doesn't end up becoming the next Uber or Airbnb or whatever, you're still helping to support innovation. You're helping to create jobs. You're helping to give entrepreneurs a chance to achieve something. And I think that's really important.
Are you from LA?
No, I'm from Massachusetts.
So when did you come to LA?
I came to LA in 2007.
And what brought you to LA?
College.
And you did you decide to stay for tech? When did you get involved in the tech world?
Oh, I got involved in the tech world pretty recently. So StartEngine is the first tech
foray company. Into tech.
It is, yeah.
And what attracted you to tech?
I kind of fell into it. I really did. The whole concept, the process, the company, everything about the company made me excited to work at it, and I didn't know about tech. I didn't understand. I guess I had heard about tech. I had watched Silicon Valley. That was kind of it. But
and everything that happens on that show is true, of course.
Well, that's what I've learned. But one thing that I love about tech is the culture of the overall community. And that might sound so cheesy. I bet it does. But I previously worked in other industries, and I was shocked, and I continue to be shocked at the way that people in tech in LA specifically, and in some other cities that I've been able to travel to, support each other. There's such a strong community of mentorship, of relationships, and people don't necessarily just want something from people all the time. They sometimes just want to have a conversation. And there's, I think, this unique kind of friendliness that comes in never knowing who the next Mark Zuckerberg is. Right. So there's way less sort of reading somebody and then deciding that you don't want to talk to them. And I really like that. And I also get to do so much virtual reality. It's so cool.
That's awesome. So before Kinsey came in the office, she was telling me this wicked cool story. She was at Ideas Los Angeles, this awesome event that I actually happened to MC last year. And she met this cool guy. What's his name? Dan Collins? Dan Collin.
Danny Collin.
Or Danny Collin. And it was really trippy because he had said that he wrote, and I wasn't there. This is like me retelling Kinsey's story, but that he had wrote a sci-fi novel. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so she just kind of assumed that, of course, like, what does this have to do with tech? Nothing. And then she got into it, and it was really interesting, the kind of approach and perspective he had in life and where his interest in how he could very much be in the tech world without even knowing he's in the tech world, really, right? So let's talk about Danny Collin. So what's Danny's website? Let's give Danny a shout out.
Danny is he's a creative director.
Cool.
He's
a copywriter. We're
going to
snap his card too. So everybody in Snap. By the way, if you're not following We Are LA Tech on Snap, it's We Are LA Tech on Snap. Yeah. No spaces. I love my Snap. Okay, yeah.
So Danny was talking to me and he was saying that he was in marketing, which I thought, hey, let's talk, because so many companies that come on Start Engine love to meet good marketing companies. But it turns out that he's also a sci-fi novel writer, which was so cool. And he had written a series of the original book is The Unincorporated Man. And he started telling me what the book was about, and it was so interesting. There were so many parallels to equity crowdfunding, which is bizarre. But in his story, and if he listens to this, I hope he likes the way I describe it, because this is what I picked up from our conversation. But yeah, so it's about a man who lives or a man who travels to a futuristic world in which every person has an investor or set of investors. And so basically, if you can imagine one of those programs where you can sponsor a child in another country, this is similar to that, except you would be investing in a person anywhere in America. You would then own some equity in their life. So you would own a percentage of whatever they achieved. And so in this world, people are compelled to make decisions based on what their investors want them to do. And it's very complicated, but really interesting. And then the idea is that his protagonist is not from this world. He travels to it and he decides not to become incorporated. And it causes a rift in their society because people don't understand why he would not want this investment. And he has to ask himself, you know, what is freedom if I have these influences? And it was so cool. And I haven't read it, but I want to.
That sounds really. I want to read it too.
Yeah.
Where can we buy it? Let's see. Does he have a.
I don't know. By the way, we're just looking,
we're looking at his card. It's theunincorporated.com.
Yeah.
And Danny, we're going to do this right now. If you want to email Danny about his book, it's Danny, DANI, at theunincorporated.com. Shout out to a local writer that he is in the tech space without being in the tech space.
Should I just read this?
Yeah, let's read it. Okay. We're going to read the back of his card.
It says, a brilliant industrialist named Justin Cord awakes from a 300-year cryonic suspension into a world that has accepted an extreme form of market capitalism. It's a world in which humans themselves have become incorporated and most people no longer own a majority of themselves. Justin Cord is now the last free man in the human race, owned by no one and owning no one.
Now, my question is, did you read that in your grown-up voice?
What do you think?
I think you did.
I could, because I was reading. I didn't have to think about what I was saying. I'm still in it.
Kinsey, thanks so much for hanging out with We Are LA Tech on this LA Startup Spotlight. We loved having you. If you believe in We Are LA Tech and everything that we're doing, go to wearelatech.com/believe. If you want to further integrate yourself into the LA Tech community, go to wearelatech.com/VIP. We have an 800 private chat group strong Slack going on, and it's really cool. You could find a job, find your investor, find your business partner. It's amazing. One of the members in We Are LA Tech actually found his roommate a few weeks ago. So you could pretty much find anything. I absolutely adore you guys. I'm so, so grateful for having Start Engine on the show today. And I can't wait for you guys to connect with them further. And we will see you again or hear you again, as I've been corrected before, on the next LA Startup Spotlight We Are LA Tech podcast. Huge shout out and thank you to Betalist. Betalist is amazing. I've used Betalist for my past startups. Betalist gains you early traction to your startup while it's still in beta. Go to betalist.com/wearelatech. That's betalist.com/wearelatech. Thank you for powering the We Are LA Tech podcast. To get text alerts when new episodes come out, text 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. We Are LA Tech, hosted by Esprit DeVora, has been a WeAreTech.fm production.